morning. Always counted a privilege and an honor to be able to come together and worship with you all, and even more so this morning, being able to lead our Bible study together. And I'm so very thankful, and it's so good to see you all here this morning. And a few years ago, I was pretty involved with the Pine Grove baseball team that we had there at the school, and for two reasons. First off, I love baseball. I love being around it. I love being able to go over in the scoreboard for them and do all the PA and things like that. But also, two of my best friends in the world, Matt King and Dustin McMillan, were coaching at the time. And to be honest, that may be the single best baseball team Pine Grove ever had those years ago. And to be honest, one of the best baseball teams in this area in my lifetime. They were really, really good. But a lot of those kids had some issues. They had various home life difficulties going on. They had trouble in class, either with grades or with discipline. A lot of these issues started to rise up, and they made themselves known during practice and even during games. We got to the point one day where Dustin kind of hit a breaking point, and he started talking to him about how you can't let the bad things take over the good things you can do. And he equated this to whenever you have all the bad things you put in your backpack and you put on you, it weighs you down. And I was thinking about this illustration, and I was also thinking that kids today don't know what it feels like to have heavy backpacks. They have tablets or Chromebooks, and all their textbooks are in class form. But back when I was in high school, you only had 3 minutes between classes, and you would have four classes away from your locker. You'd have four textbooks in your backpack and have to carry that weight all day long. I also remember how good it felt whenever you would sit at your desk and put your backpack aside and all that weight was left off of you. So Dustin was talking to them, and he made the point that even though in life you have to carry your backpack, you're going to have burdens and afflictions and difficulties, even though you have to have that weight because life is hard. Whenever you got there at practice or a game, for that moment, all you were focused on was the moment. You can take that backpack, put it aside, and not let things outside of that moment influence you or impact you. And in life, we know that Christ gives us the promise of taking up our yoke. He gives us the promise to come to Him if you're heavy laden, and He will give you rest. However, we're also shown throughout the Bible that we'll still have to face afflictions. That because of this world we live in, we will have difficulties that we have to carry and burdens we have to tote. But as we come together to worship, as we are right now gathered together, focused solely on God, focused solely on who He is, what He did for us through the Son Jesus, focused solely on what we bring to the table of offering as we worship Him, we realize that all those things that weigh us down, the burdens we have to carry, our backpacks as heavy as they are, for a moment together on the first day of the week and on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we can gather with one heart and one mind, focused not on the weight of the world, but focused on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and the beautiful things they did for us and their love that they have for us. So throughout life, you'll have to bring that weight with you at times, and we all go through various things. There are some of us this morning who are facing things nobody else knows about. We all have our own difficulties in life, those valleys we have to get through. Some of those are out in the open, some of those we may never know. And we pray for each other, and we help each other carry that weight whenever we can. But we also pray with the knowledge that there are some things you have to carry. What a blessing it is to know that right now at this time, as every time we gather together, we can put that weight aside. And we can live in the weightlessness of worship to a God who loved us so dearly. He sent us His only Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, the Bible tells us, blessed, or that word blessed there means praise. So praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. We praise God not because the storm is upon us, but we praise God because we know who has strength over the storms we have to face, who helps us pick up this burden. And then in verse 7, in the same chapter, we read, and our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. We share this suffering together. We carry each other's burdens, but we're also blessed with the fact that we comfort one another whenever we do so. And we are firmly grounded here together in the guarantee that we are in this together. We have each other's backs when we aid each other in our desire to live for God and not be overtaken by our difficulties. And with all that in mind this morning, we know we can leave our backpacks at the threshold of the door as we gather for worship together. We know that we can leave that weight behind. And instead, we're going to focus on what we're actually able to bring to worship, what we bring with us whenever we gather together, because that weight can be left behind and because we can enter here before God in one heart and one mind. Firstly, every single person here is able to bring our voice. Now, I have two verses up here. You don't have to turn them with me, because I want to read them to you. But I want you to think about what these verses mean to us whenever it comes to us singing together, singing psalms of praise, and so forth to God, what these verses mean. And the first one, it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. And there the Bible says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And then Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's important to note here for a moment who our worship is for. And while God commands our worship, He loves and appreciates our worship so very much, ultimately, worship is God's will and God's plan for us to be reminded of how great a God He is. God designed worship so we can bring everything to the Father, but also that we can leave worship reminded of the glory and the majesty of God and His love for us. It's God's way to allow us to learn about Him and edify one another. It's God's way to allow us to focus solely on Him for a moment, together with that one heart and one mind, and allow the weight of that world to be placed to the wayside as we worship Him together. And as we sing, we sing songs that remind us of God. How great is Thy faithfulness, O God, our Father. We sing to each other about the blessed assurance we're able to have in God because Jesus Christ died for us. We're able to sing in remembrance of the cross as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, and able to survey the wondrous cross together in song. We think about what these songs mean, but we also think about that we bring praise to God with them, but we also learn about God through them. We learn about God and apply that to our lives, His goodness and His mercy, how thankful we are that He is the way He is. In fact, I want to say almost every child in here with a voice who can say words right now of any kind probably has learned or is learning Jesus Loves Me. That's the first song we teach our kids, isn't it? But you think about that song and what it means. The fact that every time they sing it in VBS or Bible class, or we're able to sing it together in worship, that Jesus loves me, this I know. And we know that because the Bible tells us, don't we? But then we move on to the second verse. Jesus loved me so much, He who died. And because He died, we're teaching them a lesson. Because He died, heaven's gates are open wide. He bled and died for me, and I will henceforth live for thee. What a beautiful song that is. And every time we sing it, whether we're at home with our children, or we're at a function, or we're at worship together, whenever we sing it, those songs admonish and they teach and they praise. So when we bring our voices together, when we make melody in our heart and we sing with this thankfulness, we're fulfilling God's will. We're also strengthening each other. And as we sing, we want to sing with your voice that you bring with you to worship. We want to be able to sing these praises together, edifying each other while we sing. And we bring our voice to worship, and with that voice, we are blessed with the fact that God blesses us with song. While we sing, we preach Christ, we make a confession of our faith through our words, and we teach others around us. And we also express our deep emotion that we have for God and all that He has done. James 5, verse 13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. If anyone cheerful, he is to sing praises. And lastly, with your voice together that we sing, as we sing these songs with another, we proclaim the unity that we have in worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When you bring your voice, you take part in God's plan of worship as we sing, as we admonish, as we thank Him, and as we glorify God. So The first thing we bring with us every single time we come to worship is our voice. And also, we bring our love and our encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." As we gather together, we gather with excitement. We gather with that appreciation, and we are excited that no matter how bad that way the world is during the week, whenever we gather, we can focus on that worship together. Sometimes it's a very, very long week between Sunday afternoon and Wednesday evening Bible study, isn't it? And sometimes we yearn to be together again from Wednesday night until Sunday morning because we need each other. The fact that when I walk through that doorway, I'm able to see your smiling faces. I can shake your hands. I can give you a hug. I can ask about you, see you in person. We can read God's Word together. I can hear your voice in song. That gives me encouragement. Because we come to focus on God, of course, first and foremost. But our coming together, as the Hebrew author writes there, allows us to stimulate, allows us to encourage one another to work more in love and good deeds. But for this to happen, he says, we cannot forsake our assembling together. And instead of trying to avoid it, you know, we're excited. It's not a burden for us to come to worship. It's a blessing, and it's an honor, and it's a privilege. And as we worship, we are allowed to hold fast the confession of the hope of Christ. We are able to have for just a moment a view of what eternity will be. Because as we leave here this morning, if one of us is to go on, this is not the last time we worship together. Instead, for all of eternity, that daily worship of God and whatever means he sees fit for all of eternity, this is just a view of what's to come through the blessed promise of Jesus Christ. And as we gather together, we bring our encouragement and our love. Because during our worship, just as in life, we lean on each other. While we have song leaders, a man who led us in prayer and scripture, and we appreciate them so, so much. While we have somebody who gets our minds prepared for the Lord's Supper through a little talk and the prayers that they present, we do all this together. While we sing with our voice individually, we also bring the love and encouragement of us being here, knowing that we sing together. And this togetherness encourages us and boosts us up, and it shows us our love, firstly for God, but then also our love for our brother and sister in Christ. So whenever we leave worship here this afternoon, after we have our meal and we come back, we should never leave worship ever with contentment. We should never leave worship with this thought in our minds like, I've done enough, I'm good for this week. No, we leave worship stirred up, stimulated to work harder and to excel more for God and His glory, because we are that encouragement to each other. Even during some of the most difficult times of my life, worship has always been a place to come and to escape from the things that hinder me outside of our worship service together. And sure, we have songs and sermons that will focus our hearts and minds on the difficulties we have to face, will focus our hearts and minds on the death of Jesus and so forth. But it also puts us in a place where we are reminded of who holds our tomorrow. That through our worship, I'm reminded through my difficulties and my bad times, who's there for me every single moment. Worship allows us to have peace like a river, even when the sorrows of our life like sea billows roar. And worship here with you, with all my Christian family here at Beach Hill, it reminds me, even in the tumultuous times of my life, I have your love and I have your encouragement, and we're in the trenches of our spiritual warfare together. We bring out love and encouragement with us as we worship, but we also understand the impact our love and encouragement that we have is not just restricted to the few hours a week we worship together. We do not just love each other during worship or just during those good or bad times. Instead, this worship allows us to stimulate ourselves to love and be better each and every single day, no matter what it is we're facing. Worship allows us the ability to refocus on the glories of God and live in ways in which that glory can be glorified through all of our actions, words, and deeds. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let love of the brethren continue." Now, I was looking up the word love there that we have, and that word love back then was used to mean brotherly love. In fact, it's where the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is where it got its name from. However, theologians have discovered that whenever this word is used in the New Testament, it's a whole different meaning. That whenever you read this word that's translated to mean love in our modern language, that is solely for the love a Christian brother or sister has for their Christian brother and sister. So in this moment, Paul was telling the church in Corinth to let your love for your brethren continue. This love is what God gives us with one another. And this love is so much greater than any love that can be shared outside the body of Christ. It's a love that a Christian has given through the will of Jesus and God that allows us to love each other no matter, always, allows us to be able to worship together with no divisions and no hardened hearts, with the glory of God in the forefront of our minds. And then we also bring our encouragement. And there is never a point of your life where you can be too encouraged, can you? I've never heard somebody come up to me, that person just keeps telling me I'm doing such a good job and I'm sick of hearing it. You never hear that. Well, that person is just too nice to me. I'm tired of it. No, in fact, it's the opposite. Everybody needs a little boost, pretty much always, don't they? They need that reassurance of, hey, they're encouraging me. They're giving me courage to continue on what I'm doing. You never reach that threshold. And we understand that means that we all need encouragement, every single one of us. And you better believe whenever we walk through these doors and we enter our worship service together, there's an encouragement in the fact that we're here. The encouragement that it is that we are together, that we care about each other in our situations, that we care about each other's families and we love them, want the best for them, but also that we care about God so much that we're here. And what an encouragement that is for us. We're encouraged by those who talk to us, who boost us up, those who encourage our young people as they do their various things, the leading us in worship or practicing too one day. And this list goes on and on. We could be here for hours talking about the examples of encouragement that I see. But we are blessed to know that we encourage each other. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another day after day as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." As long as today is called today, we encourage each other. In the following verse, Hebrews chapter 3:14 reminds us, "For we have become partakers of Christ." We read Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 earlier in regards to us singing together, but now let us read Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15 in regards to our worship. It says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, to be thankful." And then we go back to what it tells us to do about singing praises to God because these verses exist. Because the promises of these verses exist and the new covenant made possible through Jesus. But we read there that above all things, beyond compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, beyond every single thing we have, love should be the best, should be the most celebrated, what we focus on, because love is our God. And that's also true as we come together and worship together. And we bring that love to our worship. And this love exemplified on the cross is what we aim to live by and through. And this is a love that we have with one another. Because we are called to come together in one body. And in this one body, we work with and for one another. Twice on the first day of the week as we worship, in our midweek Bible study, and also throughout our day-to-day walks of life. We are thankful to have this love and encouragement because God sent us His Son. And we are thankful that the divine design worship for us to be able to experience and take part in. We always bring love and we always bring encouragement. Because through our worship, God shows His love and encouragement for us. Lastly, when we come to worship, we all bring our spirit that desires to worship in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, we have the account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. In that situation, the woman begins to think that Jesus, he must be a prophet. But then she sort of talks to him and says, well, some of us think that we should worship you in the mountains, and some of us think the temple. But Jesus takes this moment to talk about what true worship in the new covenant would look like. In John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, the Bible says, and this is Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, but an hour is coming, and now we as when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The Bible reminds us again and again that God is spirit, meaning that he's not restricted to just this mortal life on earth. And he is so much greater than anything we can ever comprehend or understand, but we know that this spirit exists. And we know that as we worship with spirit and truth. Because we are created after God's own image, as we read in Genesis. And because of our creation, we too are blessed by the Godhead with the spirit or a soul of our own. And this means that as we worship, we are not restricted by places or monuments. We are not restricted by physical constraints or where our body is, because we have brethren who are worshiping throughout the world at this very moment. We have brethren who will have to worship today hidden away in basements and in cellars and in their homes because of fear of persecution. We have brethren who will go worship inside of a hut somewhere in the middle of a rainforest. But at the end of the first day of the week, our brothers and sisters throughout the world will have all worshiped in a way that God is proud of, because physical constraints do not hinder our worship in the new covenant. We worship in spirit and truth. And we take solace in the fact we have brothers and sisters doing the same thing right now as we speak. They already have worship. They will worship later on today. This morning, as we have sang, we have prayed, as we have read, now as we study God's Word, we do so with one spirit, one heart, one mind, all as one body of Christ. And in a moment, we'll also partake of the Lord's Supper together in one spirit as well. When we think back about what this woman was sort of referencing to, and the Hebrew author writes about this in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, because back then, the Old Covenant was full of fleshly ordinances, physical ordinances. Things like that you had to have a physical tabernacle, you have to have priests that wear special clothes, lampstands, burning of incense, instrumental music, animal sacrifices, all things that appeal to the physical. But what Jesus Christ is talking about, this worship that we're able to have today, because now we, the church of the tabernacle, now Jesus Christ is our high priest, all these things are focused solely on the spiritual side. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And then Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 gives us this idea of the oneness of spirit when it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is grown into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." We gather together as Christian family because the blood of Jesus takes away any divisions we might have. We gather together with this knowledge that we are here with one body and one spirit, just as God intended. And make no mistake, this afternoon, whenever we leave here after our evening service together, we'll have to pick our backpacks back up. We'll have to go back into this world full of afflictions and through hardships and heartache. But we also leave with reassurance, don't we? We are reassured because we know what we have here at this congregation, and we know how much and what we mean to one another. We live here with reassurance because we know that as we depart from here, somebody's going to be praying for us. Somebody's going to be caring about what our week may hold for us. And while our load is heavy at times and weighs on us, we know that we have brothers and sisters who are willing and ready to carry that weight for us. Through prayer, kindness, mercy, encouragement, and above all those things, they carry that weight with us with love. So let us use worship as God designed it, a time, just a moment in time where we can focus fully on how great He is. Let us use worship as God designed it, as a time we can leave our backpacks at the door, all the weights and the burdens, and we can come to the weightlessness of His mercy in the presence of one another who we love dearly with all of our hearts. And as we come to worship, we bring our voice, don't we? Bring our voice that can sing these songs, that can praise God, that can teach and admonish. We bring our love and encouragement as we boost each other up, as we are here, and we bring that joy to one another's lives. And we also bring with us our spirit, with a biblically backed desire to worship God the way He should be worshipped, in spirit and in truth. The most important thing you can always bring to your worship is you. Because God wants you to be strengthened, to grow, and to deepen your love. We want to have you here to worship with. And as we do that together, as we lean on each other, and as we worship, it deepens our love, first and foremost for God, but also for one another, to stimulate us to do good deeds and better things, and to help us our desire to grow in love each and every day. If you have not yet put Christ on in baptism, we'll make that decision this morning. There's no better time to do so. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason whatsoever, please come now as we stand and as we sing.